welcome to another episode of Swapping Joysticks, your home of everything gaming and streaming. I'm your host, Biggest Bennis, and joining me, as always, is...
me!
Ed Nightingale. And if you have just tuned in to go and listen to a certain thing that we're talking about, go and check the YouTube description or the podcast description if you're listening on a podcast player, and you can fast forward to those bits if you're not really interested in anything else.
Or listen to all of it.
Or listen to all of it, yeah. But we're not going to force people
stay
to.
And support
they can
us.
Do what they want. Exactly. But yeah, welcome. How's your week been, Ed? Because you've been doing a thing called work.
Yes, which you haven't. Lucky for you. I say that, it's only been 2 days.
Yeah.
So we had a nice long weekend away. And we had a spa day on Tuesday.
We did. We had a long weekend away to Yorkshire, my family. And Ed demanded that we go on a day trip to Sheffield for some reason.
Right, I did not demand this. You wanted to go because we went to see, as you will have heard from last week's podcast, we went to see a show called Standing at the Sky's Edge, which is set in Sheffield. And so we decided jointly, let's go to Sheffield so we can actually... you know, put a place to the music.
Yeah, and we went and saw like all the various things. Like the show is like the backdrop of the show is this graffiti that says "I love you, will you marry me?" in bad grammar, and the whole like the show or the place the show itself takes place in a tower block, a Sheffield tower block. So we went and visited that tower block.
Yeah,
what
which
did you think?
Overlooks the city, and it's very gentrified now. But yeah, it was quite pleasant.
What do you think of
it
Sheffield?
Seemed like quite nice flats.
Because we not only did that, we went to the National Video Game Museum in Sheffield.
We did, which was the highlight of the day, especially as this is a video game podcast. I will say it's slightly depressing to see your childhood in a museum.
Yeah.
Because I'm literally walking around like, oh, I've got that game. Oh, I've got that game. Oh.
No, yeah, I posted it and Ready Set Ben. Hey, Ready Set Ben. Replied with... I own these. Why are they in a museum?
Yeah, literally. Like a whole thing of Sonic games. I'm like, oh, I have all of these.
Yeah. Your bedroom is like a museum.
Not really. Well, we have the Kallax here, not that people can
see
it.
No, but your bedroom, under the bed.
Don't tell people where I keep things.
Oh, yeah. That's where he keeps all his really, really well sought after.
Not really. I don't have much. But yeah, it's quite a fun museum, though. We were there for an hour. Because we arrived an hour before it closed, and so they gave us half price entry. And actually, an hour was plenty long enough, so I'm quite happy that we got half price.
And it was so northern that it was like, it was an hour before it closed, but not closed for the end of the day, closed for lunch.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, yeah, sorry, we're all going for lunch soon, so we're going to close up the whole museum, which I thought was quite funny.
In some ways, it's basically just an arcade. Like, it's got various consoles out from throughout the ages. With lots of different games. There's arcade machines, there's consoles, there's PCs. But there's also, I mean, there's quite a strong gaming tradition in Sheffield of quite a few developers up there.
Yeah.
There's a nice little section for Gang Beasts.
There's like Yorkshire, definitely. Yorkshire. So Team 17, based in Wakefield.
And quite a few like games made in Sheffield that they have there, which is quite nice. And I think they had games that were made by the local universities because I think they have a game development course. And also a little accessibility in the corner.
Yeah.
Where we played Minecraft with our eyes.
It's so weird because like people were talking about them playing games. I think it was playing Civ 6 with that brain implant thing. So they're saying like how somebody was playing Civ 6 and they were looking and the brain implant was being able to tell where they were looking and they were able to play it through there. But I'm like, we did exactly that without anybody inserting anything to our brain. And I know like brain implant technology is its infancy. It's never going to be worse than what it is now. And it'll only get bigger, which is still a bit worrying. But like the eye tracking software, it was wild. I couldn't believe how accurate it was. Mm. Like just moving your eye slightly, it knows exactly where in that screen you're looking at.
Yeah. So basically you sit there and it sort of calibrates to your eyes. You have to look around the screen and it sort of measures that. And then you literally just look. Just moving your eyes and your character will move around, or there are options at the bottom of the screen. So you literally just move down and you hover over it for long enough, just looking at it until it accepts, and then you can continue moving around.
Yeah, so you change between like build, place, fight, or attack, or walk. And it was really weird because I'm like, I'm playing this game, I'm moving around, I'm collecting hearts, I placed a flower down, I broke a block, and I didn't use my hands.
Yeah.
So people that aren't able to use their hands, like, this must be, like, so freeing for them.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like, not to sound, like, patronizing, but it's really eye-opening when you're someone who... Oh, God, I didn't mean that eye-opening. God, oh, I genuinely didn't mean that.
He's too busy trying not to be patronizing. You missed the pun.
But, like, I guess, like, for us, we generally use controllers or mouse and keyboard. And so it's amazing, like, different control methods and different ways of playing games that you just don't normally think of, but actually they're incredible and it makes games immensely playable for people that need it. And that's amazing technology.
Really was. I also, when you were talking earlier about games that were in your childhood that are now in a museum, I did get to play one of the games that I remember playing in the arcade and being like, holy shit, the graphics in this is incredible. It's way better than anything that's at home, which I found out was Virtua Tennis 2.
Right.
And I played that, had an amazing time with it, but I was playing this going like, I'm playing this in a museum. And I remember playing this in Xscape Castleford in the arcade next to the bowling and being like, these graphics are incredible. They did look too bad, to be honest. Like, you could understand
it's
what it was.
It's sort of Dreamcast level, which was great.
I'd play that. I mean, I won on, like, the third juice. You were watching. It was quite intense.
You did all right.
For a game that I've not played in about 25 years.
Yeah.
It was, that was great.
I think that was the most recent arcade cabinet. And it had that right back down to, like,
Donkey
Ms. Pac-Man and Donkey Kong.
I could not clear the first level.
Well, you didn't realize that you can't go up a ladder if you're holding a hammer.
That's true, yeah. I was very confused. And the
basics.
Things were falling down and like they were falling down. And I couldn't climb up. Oh, it was very confusing. A bit too complicated.
Have
for
you
me.
Ever played Donkey Kong before?
No, I'm not that old.
Wow.
But no, my first Nintendo game I played was probably Alleyway.
Like the worst game you could have chosen.
How dare. Alleyway is fantastic.
Alleyway is boring as hell.
Alleyway is the equivalent of like Balatro because you're just like, oh, just one run. Just see how far I can get. Yeah, and it's just really like seeing the numbers go up and clearing the tiles. It's like, you know, you watch those power cleaning on your rug videos. It's like one of those because you're clearing the screen from these blocks. And also you're playing as Mario.
Don't out me as a rug cleaner video watcher.
You are a rug cleaner, which is a euphemism. He loves watching rugs getting cleansed, if you know what I mean. Oh, get all that juice out. Love a bit of carpet juice. Anyway, yeah, just think people that, like, UK people and people that live in colder countries that have carpets. It's pretty disgusting. You wouldn't run your tongue along it, would you?
No, you get it cleaned.
Would not put your face into your carpet unless you're having a good time. But speaking of games that we were playing in there, we played the world's longest game of Rock Band or whatever it was.
We did Freebird, which I think, did you select that?
No, I just clicked replay. So there was whatever the person before was playing. But
it was really long.
It's like 12 minutes or so.
Yeah, and I was playing on the guitar and one of the buttons wasn't working, which was really irritating.
Yeah, and I was doing it. I was missing half the things because there was a delay, but there was a weird delay that I had to press. Yeah. And the people behind I think that kind of were waiting.
And they were like, and got a bit bored because the song was so long.
Yeah, they were like, oh, they've just started a couple of minutes ago. They'll be finished soon. And we're watching
it. There's like a whole guitar solo to go, mate. Chill out.
Oh, God, it went on forever. But that was all right.
I think that's also the problem with that kind of museum is that like a lot of hardware is quite delicate. A lot of controllers are quite delicate.
And the people playing.
Well, yeah, when
delicate.
People are just there constantly, you know, fiddling with joysticks and pissing around with plastic guitars. And I'm like, I've got one at home that works really well. I'll just use that.
But also, we played a pinball machine that was like an LED screen.
This genuinely was my favorite thing.
So it was a pinball machine. Like, it looked like a pinball cabinet. But instead of it
with
being...
with buttons at the sides.
Yeah. But instead of that, it had like a screen on the top. And what? Explain how it worked.
So, yeah, it was this game. I actually can't remember what it was called. Ink
top. Did you take a picture? Because I was looking for it and I couldn't find. But it's like, it's called like Ink Topolis or something like that. I took a lot of photos, but none of them.
Oh, it's in the background. So you were playing Duck Hunt while I was playing this.
What was I playing?
Duck Hunt.
Do what?
Duck Hunt.
I was great at that. I got three rounds. I think I did three rounds. 30 out of 30. Every one shot kill. I was the best at that game.
Great. Anyway, while you were playing that, I was next to you playing Inks, I-N-K-S.
Hmm.
So yeah, it's like a pinball cabinet, but it's like a screen rather than, you know, an actual physical cabinet. And the idea of this game is that it is pinball, and you know, use the buttons on the side to flip the flippers, to flip the ball up. But there are certain sections. It's like each of the, because it's a screen, it's digital, obviously it just changes shape every time, the sort of layout.
Hmm.
And there are certain sections of that you have to hit to like light up the ink.
Oh, the ink splurges when you hit them.
So it's all kind of white, and then the ball goes around and splurges, and it like splatters paint all around. So it's like you're sort of colouring the board as you're flipping the ball around.
It's like an interesting version of that game that you liked with the paintbrush.
Excuse me?
The shit one.
The shit one with the paintbrush?
Yeah, you have a dog or something. What was that crap one that I didn't like? The really bad one. You and Moni loved. With a dog. It's probably
Chicory.
Yeah, there you go. It's like a good version of Chicory.
How very dare. It wasn't as good as Chicory. Thank you. Yeah, it's just like a really fun little twist on pinball that you're like, oh, and you just you colour the level, you move on to the next one. I don't know how many there were. There were probably tons. All slightly different shapes and different challenges. It was genuinely really fun. But I've also, it sounds really stupid, but I don't think I've ever seen a digital pinball machine.
I'm sure that, I mean, they'll definitely
exist. I'm sure there'll be,
but it'd be interesting to see if that would work, if that's just for that one, or if it's like an arcade cabinet where you could actually get one inside and then you can...
And change the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you know how much they cost?
A lot.
They cost... Oh, a virtual pinball machine. Is it that one? Oh, it's only about £900. Oh, no. It goes up quite a lot.
Oh.
To like 5,000. So there are quite a few. But yeah, at Games Legends virtual pinball machine. But I don't know if that's one that you can actually change and stuff. I don't know. They're a lot of money. And it's probably... Oh, you can buy one for £29.99 from Smith's Toys.
Great. Let's get that.
Yeah. But yeah.
I'll say as well, as part of the museum, they obviously have cabinets with consoles and peripherals and games and things to sort of show the history, in inverted commas, of like 20 years. Of more than 20 years. So they sort of show you a bit of the history.
PlayStation 3 was out 20 years ago, Ed.
Oh, God, don't say that.
Was it?
No, surely not. Mm. Hang on, 20 years ago.
Oh, my God.
2004.
Maybe.
No, that would have been PS2.
Well, I played Final Fantasy X, and that was PS2 in 2001. It was, 2006. We're okay. 18 years ago, the PS3 came out.
Holy shit.
The PS3 is almost old enough to drink in the UK. It's been driving around for a year and a half.
Yeah. I also read actually recently that the Wind Waker HD that came out on Wii U is now older than the difference between the original Wind Waker and that HD remaster.
Oh, did it take a while?
It's now longer.
Oh, I didn't realise. Yeah, they all seem quite recent to me.
Because it was GameCube to Wii U was that difference. We're and it's very... now been longer since that came out.
We're so old now.
We are.
The PS3,
we're now museum pieces.
You could kill a man with a PS3. And if you had killed a man with a PS3 on launch date, you'd be out by now.
Wow.
There you go. That is the fact of the day.
Is that an original PS3, though? Because my one broke.
Oh, yeah, no, I had an original PS3. Now, the new ones would just do some damage. The original ones, yeah, you could, like... If you throw it at the right angle, you can, like, take someone's head clean off. Especially if it's got, like, the
heavy
side, yeah. Oh, yeah, I had one of those. Then I got one of the flimsy ones that, like, slides and it... Ugh.
Yeah, so I got the Y-Lod, the Yellow Light of Death. And which means that it just won't turn on and you lose all your saves. Luckily, they were in the cloud. But it was literally about a month after warranty or something. So I had to go and buy one of the new ones.
I had the Red Light of Death in my Xbox 360. There. But
see, kids these days won't understand the lights of death.
I think the PlayStation does. I think it does have a light of death. People
does
have
it?
Yeah, there is a light of death.
Well, touch wood.
Yeah.
Touch everything.
You can't see what wood Ed's touching.
That won't happen.
Yeah. Well, we've got two. It doesn't matter.
It does matter.
So yeah, we went and did that, and
that
then
was a nice
we
day.
Had a lovely lunch at a place called Piccolino's,
yeah,
which was delicious. And
it's Italian.
Yeah, it's like Sheffield is like the. If you've been to Sheffield, the north half of it is really nice, quite modern, gentrified. You can get some nice food, nice places to sit and drink, and some kind of touristy places. And then from the top of the like the main shopping district or shopping street down, it's like they've forgotten about it. Maybe they're working the way down.
It was a bit of a shithole.
Well, it's just like the most generic looking British city that's not a major city.
Okay, you know it's not good when about every 5 meters there's a Greggs.
Where did you put the word not in that sentence?
You heard me.
Greggs is fantastic. We also went into...
There were so many Greggs on the high street.
Yeah.
It's too many.
It's the north. We don't too do many. Pret up there.
I would have loved a Pret lunch.
You had a 44 quid each.
Yeah, we
Italian
did. We had
thing.
A nice Italian.
But yeah, that would have been 88 each down south. But no, Pret. I love Pret for breakfast, but like lunch just reminds me of work. Because now I have Pret for like...
Well, whose fault's that then? Maybe you should branch out a bit more.
They just need to bring back the hot salt beef wrap that they got rid of in 2007.
Who remembers this shit?
Me, because I was fuming.
Wow.
I was so angry.
Wow.
But yeah, no, that was Sheffield. And then, yeah, we went to... We
had a spa day.
Yeah, the Intercontinental or whatever it's called, the O2 Intercontinental. Mm-hmm. Thanks to our friend Moni, who got me a birthday present. And yes, my birthday is in June, but I just finally got around to redeeming it, finding, because it was a weekday we had to go. So this week because it was the end of March, the end of the financial year, I could only carry over 5 days and I had 11. So I just took the last six off.
This is why you've been streaming this week.
This is why I've been streaming and I've been playing lots of Dragon's Dogma 2. But so we went and finally got that one because you went and took a couple of days off or a day off.
Yeah.
And yeah.
So we chilled out in the spa, in the sauna, and had a massage and an afternoon tea.
Mm-hmm.
Very pleasant.
Lovely.
So yeah, anyway, to get back to my week, I have then had 2 days of work. And now it's Easter and we get another long weekend.
Swiggles, yeah, now, but although tomorrow I'm going to, well, today, if you're listening to this on the release day, I'm going to Insomnia, which is in Birbigub. Mm. And I'm going to be going and just networking and chatting to people and letting people know the words of the Lord.
Gosh.
Yes. And telling them all about what we're going to be doing there. So I'll be wandering around. If you're a streamer and you've seen me, you have probably already spoken to you about it.
Well, yeah, it's a bit late now.
Yeah. I need to take my business cards. I need to remember those.
Yeah, don't forget them.
Well, I was going to take a load of badges, but I forgot to bring them from work.
Oh. Mm. Well, that was silly, wasn't it?
We'll just save them for later.
Just give people I Love BB badges instead.
I do have a lot of I Love BB badges.
There you go. Get rid of them.
No, I'm not. That sounds like an order.
Anymore. Get rid of them.
All right. But we have been playing some games, haven't we?
Well, you've been streaming this week. And what have you been streaming then?
I've been streaming Dragon's Dog Breath 2. And it is... Well, we were kind of hyping each other up, I think, last time, because you were not a massive fan when you first started it.
But yeah, so last week we chatted a bit about it. I'd played a few hours of just the beginning, most of which was Character Creator. And I've been playing it on PlayStation PS5, where the frame rate is not good and it doesn't generally run very well. And there's just a general sort of janky awkwardness to the whole thing. And I could see that it was still enjoyable, but I need to put more time into it, which I haven't had a chance to yet.
Mm.
But you are now playing it on PC, which appears to run better.
Yeah, I'm playing it on PC. I've got a 3080, if anybody is interested, RTX, and like a decent i10 700K processor, if anybody is, CPU, if that matches what you're playing it on, or you might play it on. And it runs perfectly fine. I've capped the frame. I've turned off a couple of things that I found on a website, which I can't remember which it was now, so I can't recommend it. But I turned down a couple of things like low and some medium or whatever, and locked the frame rate at 60. And outside of the major city, it's very solid 60. Like, I don't see any drops whatsoever. Because the thing is that the one problem with the PlayStation is that you were saying that it's 30 FPS, but it also dips.
Yeah.
That is really noticeable. I'd much rather have, like, if this game, let's say, ran at 60, between 60 and 50. Like, if you said, okay, it's always between 50 and 60 FPS, I would be like, okay, I'm going to lock it at 45, let's say, because I want it to be stable. Because a stable frame rate is, you know, we are both frame rate whores now, but I think a stable frame rate is more important than a high frame rate.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So if it's going up and down, you just try and
but also keep it high.
Freeze it at the bottom.
Please, developers.
Please.
I mean, I was watching your screen. I was like, oh, this is what it's meant to look like.
Yeah, it's not blurred.
Because it's smooth and looks decent.
It looks really, really good. Yeah, the main city, when I've been wandering around there, it's been chugging a little bit, but not to the point where it's like impossible to look at. Like, I think if you get below 30, below 20, then I can, which is games I have played before when it goes below there and it's just been like, oh, I'm not playing this anymore. But I'm just talking kind of 30 to 60. And it just really, yeah, it's fine. It's obviously not perfect, but I played The Witcher 3 on PS4 when it first launched.
Same.
Before the PS4 Pro. So the original PS4, like launch PS4. And I mean, yeah, I've mentioned this before, but when I was in Novigrad, was that the main city? Mm-hmm. When I was in Novigrad, like my mini map would just be black. It like wouldn't even load the map. And the frame rate was atrocious. So this is nowhere near as bad as that was. And I still finished that game. But for those who don't know Dragon's Dogma, it is a very much a kind of a medieval focused or a medieval styled fantasy game. It's kind of lazy to compare it to lots of other games, but it's so easy to as well, because the Skyrim, I'm definitely getting Skyrim vibes, Elden Ring, and The Witcher. It's those three.
It's a big open world fantasy games. It's got dragons and it's got dogma.
Yeah. Whatever dogma is.
Yeah. So that's the performance, but how have you found the actual gameplay? Because you're now a lot further than I am, mm-hmm. so you probably have a better impression now of how it actually plays.
I'm really enjoying it. So I started, and like people say, oh yeah, you want to make your own way to the main city, because you can either like go by cart or you can walk your entire way there. And I think you walked there.
I walked and it took forever and I got ambushed by a werewolf.
Yeah, I got ambushed on the way there, but there were a bunch of us on the cart, so we kind of finished it anyway. But yeah, no, I took that and then I got to the city and it just became a place where I could kind of wander around and get my bearings and then venture out from that. So I think that was a bit more enjoyable. But I'm actually really enjoying it. The story, there's definitely, it's not perfect. I'm like the fact that it was over 90 of Metacritic, I'm still not quite sure if that's right, but I think it's 88 now. But it's, okay, negatives. So we'll start with the negatives and then we'll go into the positives. Negatives are,
Give me a shit sandwich.
Okay, well no, shit's in the middle. It's good first, isn't it?
Well, yeah, split you good.
Okay, good, right. It is huge. Like, it is a massive, massive map, and it feels like it keeps the same style the entire way. Like something, for example, like Breath of the Wild or Tis the Kingdom, each area is very distinct from each other. And all the areas that I've found so far with Dragon's Dogma 2, they feel quite realistic. You don't suddenly walk into a place and then it's snow. However, I might, who knows in the future, but I've explored quite a lot and it's just felt, I don't know, the world just feels a bit more believable, a bit more lived in, and I love that it's grounded in reality.
Does that get samey though, rather than the sort of variation? Because that's what people like in a fantasy game, is the variation of like different regions.
It does, but then you feel like I'm getting lost. I'm going places, I'm like, did I recognize this place? No, this is a new one. I don't know, it just feels a bit more realistic. Like a giant wooded area with mountains and stuff is probably going to be quite similar wherever you go in that. So I do like that, and like I said, I really like that it's grounded in reality and it just feels a bit believable, and it is kind of based on medieval styles. Obviously there's magic and various other things, giant werewolves and dragons, but the world itself, like if you remove everything from it, like if you remove all the animals and humans from it, it feels like just a medieval realistic place with various castles around. So I love that. The shit side, yeah, it is a bit repetitive maybe with the locations, but more than that is like the repetitiveness of the enemies. Like I've probably beaten in total probably about like how many different species, maybe like three or four different species, and there are maybe two or three variations so far of those.
Okay,
so there's like a giant cyclops, and I've killed a giant cyclops like 7 or 8 times. So there are these like wolves,
of course.
There's some orcs, and then there's like a slightly tougher orc variant that has some armor, and then there's some of these like lizard things, and I think there's a tougher lizard variant. So there's not too much variation so far, and I do feel like I'm fighting the same things over and over again, But also as well, it's not very video gamey in the way that the quests don't necessarily have like a big boss at the end. Mm-hmm. It might be just going to a cave, and at the end of the cave, it's just an area with maybe a few more goblins that you have to kill. And then you go and collect from the chest something that you needed.
So I'm getting the sense that there are big enemies around, which to me feels quite Monster Hunter-y. But then you don't fight like a boss at the end of a quest.
So far I haven't, no. I mean, I'm about 15 hours in. I've done a bunch of quests, a bunch of side stuff. I'm progressing the main story fairly. And I have bumped into some really tough enemies that now some of them I can defeat really quickly. Mm. Like Cyclops I can destroy in no time pretty much.
Yeah.
I fought one the other that was like, I think it was ice or fire. I can't remember. He had like a rock. No, it was like a rock thing. That had different weak points, and that was really cool. So that one was like a new one. But as I go and play through it, hopefully there'll be new things that pop up, especially as I go to kind of venture in other areas. Because there's a whole other world. There's like two nations that are kind of at a stalemate.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't been, apart from at the very, very, very beginning, which you've been, which in like the intro, I haven't been down there again, so I don't know if there's new things there or if there's... Maybe it's a completely different landscape, which I think it is because I think it's more like desert. But yeah, it's really good fun to kind of just wander around and do these quests, but it does seem that, yeah, I've fought tougher things, not from a quest, but just from wandering around.
Yeah.
I did get very annoyed though because there's a giant griffin that's super like tough. It's got like 4 or 5 health bars and... if you attack it a bit too much, it'll just fly off. So you've got to like constantly have their wings burning. And if the wings aren't burning, then it'll just fly off. And you can have spent 5 minutes trying to get it, whittle its health down, but then it'll just fly off and regenerate. And
you can jump on it.
Could jump on it, but then
fly off.
Well, if you jump on it, your stamina will go down because your stamina is always going down. So if you're like climbing on things. So yeah, I will see, but I think maybe you need to be a higher level and then kind of do more fiery attacks or I don't know. But I did fight a dragon.
Of course.
So I bumped into a dragon when I was searching for something else. And yeah, that thing killed me in one single hit and it had about 8 health bars.
Oh dear.
I feel like that's definitely an end game thing.
Yeah. Okay, so not enough enemy designs.
And so far, variation. I'll report back. Maybe there'll be a bunch that pop up, but okay. I don't know.
And what's on the other side of the shit sandwich?
The good things. Mm-hmm. There are lots more good things, actually. Like the combat, I love. I love that. So I'm playing as a thief, which is really good fun. And it's kind of like Twin Blades from Monster Hunter. So I'm kind of running around. I'm doing my little Beyblade spinning attack that does so much damage. I'm igniting them with fire. I'm I've got a piece of string, whatever, a rope that kind of topples enemies that are slightly...
Piece of string.
Well, that's the first side. Then you upgrade it and it's a piece of rope.
Okay, sure.
And I've got some other things that like do some like really strong attacks. So that's a really cool job to have. But like there's such variation. So I could have a warrior where it's all like sword and shield, or I could be a mage, which is kind of, I think it's more of the support healer. But then you unlock, I can't remember the other name for it, like a sorcerer, I think, or something, which is more of like a DPS magic.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are a bunch of different like jobs that unlock as you play the game. And some of them seem really good fun. There's like one that looks like a Jedi, which I haven't seen, but you've mentioned it's got like lightsabers or something.
I can't remember what it's called now, and I'm sure someone will correct me. But you use like a sort of a long staff, I think, and you sort of spin it around and you get like force powers. So it's basically like being a Jedi. And what I want to be. Is it Mystic Knight?
Possibly.
I think it's called something like that.
So I love playing it. Also,
as opposed to Jedi Knight.
Mm, so you level up your job up to level 9. As far as I'm aware, there's nothing after that. Maybe I don't know if there's anything extra.
Mm.
But so you level that up to like level 9, but your permanent level is always going up alongside your pawn, PAWN, which is the character you also create and is like your buddy. So you can actually give them a job that kind of complements yours. So I'm at like level 22 as my base character, and I think I'm at level 8 as my thief. So I'm not too far away from level 9. But I think it's like once you've mastered it, great, that's going to be good. You know, if you want to fight a boss, then you've unlocked all of the extra bonus things for that job and that class, so you're going to be pretty strong. But also, if you want to try something completely new, you'll start at level 1 from that, but you'll still have your main character at level 20-odd or whatever.
So you've still a lot of health.
Yeah, and... so you're not start. It's not like Final Fantasy 14 where you switch jobs and then you're back to level 1. You're keeping the strength and all of that that you've got, but obviously you need to practice and you need to get better at that new job. So
and I think presumably if you're a higher level, you can then kill like higher level enemies to get more experience to level up the vocation quicker?
Yes. Yes, no, that is totally true because So my pawn, called Twink, answers to the name Edward.
I was going to say, get your pawn out. All right, tell us about your pawn.
So my pawn is a little blonde mohawk, mohawkian, wearing Twink, called Twink, with the moniker Edward. And he was a...
I don't know who that's based on.
No, I don't know either.
No.
Younger blonde hair. He was a... or a mohawk. He
I'm not
was
a twink.
Sorry?
And I'm not a twink.
You, that beard does not cover up enough.
Listen, the beard is here for a reason, okay? Anyway, tell us about Twink.
Show us your chest hair, Ed.
No.
Just the one. So he...
I think you'll find us three.
So? Anyway, thought you were three down there, but you pissed out of one of them.
Excuse me?
It's an old joke.
Is it?
Yeah. What was I saying? Oh, my Twink. He was an archer... and he was a bit squishy and a bit shit. So when we got to the new city, he was like, he got to level 4 of the archer. And then I unlocked, I want to say sorcerer, I'm probably wrong, but it's the DPS one that you unlock after a little bit of time. And so I swapped that to the Twink and he kind of leveled up really quickly because we were fighting higher level enemies. So yeah, he was like level 4 of that pretty quickly. So I think, yeah, once you're much higher, it's easier to level them. If anybody wanted a tip, if they wanted some advice, I would go and say, like, stick to one and kind of level it up to max. Because you also get some kind of bonus skills as well as you get near the end. Also, Thief is the best. Go and play as Thief.
No, it's I want to be a Sorcerer.
Oh, yeah, you've nearly unlocked it, though, haven't you?
Well, I don't know.
Anyway.
I'll get there.
So, the combat's really good fun. Now, the actual quests themselves, I'm actually finding them quite interesting, and I'm finding them easy to follow. It's not... so far, it hasn't done the really annoying thing, except it's kind of done it once, but I find Final Fantasy XIV does it quite a lot, is where you need to go and get something from somebody, and then you go to them, and then they go, oh, can you help me collect 17 of these things? Mm. And then you go and do that, and then they're like, oh, wait, to get this, I want you to do this for me, and you have to do this... like such a long thing to kind of complete one mission. I haven't had that yet. I had it once where I had to go and find something and then the person, I've only had it like once, but it was a very short time. I did it in about 20 minutes. But yeah, so those quests, they're not frustrating. They're quite fun. They're varied, very, very varied. So one of them might be go and clear out some monsters, or it might be go and sneak into this place after dark. The other one is kind of, yeah, like, I can't remember what the other one was. I had two sneaking around, which is quite interesting because there aren't any... there's a lot of stealth so far, but there's no stealth mechanic, really.
Well, that's annoying.
Yeah, so you can get found out. I went into a masquerade ball and I had to go and get some nice clothes and wear a mask and
was
went
that difficult
in there.
For you?
What, be mask?
To get some nice clothes.
How dare you? My beautiful yellow t-shirt that...
Beautiful.
All right. Wow. You're really upset about that pube joke, aren't
you?
Yeah,
I was. Thank you.
Don't worry, he has a massive willy. So we're...
Shut up. What?
So we are in the masquerade ball. So that was another one that was like kind of stealth, but in clear sight. And I don't know. I found so far the missions I've done are actually very interesting and quite fun to follow, and they're not ridiculously long. So yeah, that has been enjoyable. Now, one of the stealth missions, I had to go to a jail, sneak into the jail and try and persuade somebody to leave. And I think they wanted me to wear some sort of armor so they wouldn't realize that I wasn't a jailer, but I didn't. So I went
in
there
with... That was silly, wasn't it?
Well, I went in there with my armor on and my sword and everything. And then somebody started attacking me because they were like, hey, you're not supposed to be here. So I started attacking them and realized that they weren't taking much damage. So I led them down to the bottom of, to like the exit where all my buddies are. And they all attacked the jailers and the jailers got murdered and yeah, they were all killed. So I went back and I did it. And then went back and got, and did the task with the guy that was in the jail. And then as I'm like leaving the town, pretty much everybody in the town is out to try and kill me.
Funny that.
Yeah, it's just very annoying. And they're all attacking me and then my companions. So I've got my pawn, who is my sidekick, and then two others that I've hired, which kind of, yeah, I like to do a bit of a like a magic arranged, a DPS, that type of one alongside me. So they were all just reacting to these people that were fighting them. And it was just a complete bloodbath. And yeah, so I was like, I don't know if I'm ever going to be able to play this game because every time I go into the major city, they're all trying to kill me and I can't like survive any time there. Even like the vendors had disappeared. They'd run off because there was all this fighting going on. But I just left it for a while. I disappeared. I changed two of my companions and I think my twink had died. So I brought him back. And then when we went back into the town, I think I got them to wait outside while I went in on my own and they seemed okay.
Okay.
So it, they do, they're okay in the end. And in fact, I went back into the jail where there are only two people there now. I'm sure before there were like four or five, but there are only two.
Well, they're dead, Ben. You killed them.
Well, they weren't on the floor, so they must have cleared them up. But those, the two people who were wandering around were just like chatting to me. So.
Okay. See, I think that's a good example of the sort of gameplay that some people seem to really love in this game and some people don't. So it's the way that the world reacts to you and, and you know, isn't always nice to you.
And, can,
you know, the world and the inhabitants, the NPCs can screw you over in the middle of doing stuff. And I think, like, reviewers seem to have really liked that aspect of it and the sort of emergent gameplay and systems and how that all interacts. And they seem to really like that. But from the reaction on social media, it seems that there are a lot of players that maybe don't like that sort of thing because they want that hero fantasy that you get in most games. And it seems that that's splitting opinion a little bit.
I'll definitely get the hero fantasy in it. And also I love that loads of random things can happen and the game, I feel like the people that have made the game have been like, yeah, just let that thing happen. If something happens like this, then it does. So for example, I was leaving the masquerade ball, all very nice, and leaving and just walking down towards, away from like the, because the city's split into kind of the regal area, the palaces where the rich nobility live. And then a bit further down where it's kind of the more the regular people. They're still living in the city, so they're not poor necessarily. Well, actually, there's like a lower part where they are. But as I was walking down, like in the evening, it was nice. It was relaxing. Then like four lizard people came up. They'd kind of come from the woods. For some reason, they'd infiltrated the city and they were coming up and just charging straight at me. So we had a bit of a fight there, which was just random. And then there was one point. This is when we, when I was testing, like, why is everybody trying to kill me? As I was trying to kind of dodge other people in the, like, dodge some of the like inhabitants of the city, not just the army, not just the guards, but also the, like, the civilians, like women and children coming up fighting me, or at least women coming up and fighting me as well. As I was, like, trying to navigate that, there was a freaking Cyclops that wandered in.
Great.
So there was a big giant Cyclops in the center, like the big square of the city, just going around smashing and destroying people while he's attacking me. And then there's the villagers as well, the inhabitants trying to kill me as well. It was chaos.
So everyone's trying to kill you?
Everyone's trying to kill me, yeah.
Oh.
It, but it's just really, really good fun game. And yeah, the story, you said that, like, the story is bullshit. You have no idea what's going on. The missions, I find them quite interesting.
Okay.
And they're quite like easy to follow. They're varied so far, but I'm like, I said, 15 hours in. Maybe after 40 hours, I'm like, this is not varied whatsoever. There's some really cool characters you get to meet. I've unlocked the brothel.
Of course you have.
I spent 20,000 gold to have relations with a gentleman.
Oh.
And I just got a little bit
so
of
So you
a,
can be gay.
I just got a little bit of a boost of health. And then...
Bet you did.
And yeah, I only had like 56,000 at that time. In fact, that was actually a lot. And so I spent 20,000 on that. Wasn't quite worth it because you just see yourself in your boxes and then it dims and then you wake up and you're both in your boxes and then he leaves.
That's a shame.
And but that was 20,000 gold. And then as I was leaving, I was wandering around the like the residential area, and a person whose house I was sitting, she decided that she was going to go and live somewhere else, and I could buy a house from her for 20,000 gold.
Oh.
So I bought a house for the same amount that I spent on a rent boy.
Wow.
Don't clip that out of context. So I'm having a great time.
Rent boy is getting a good deal then.
He could buy a house for 3 minutes of action.
If that.
How dare you?
Well, from what you're saying, it's a very quick cutscene.
A very quick cutscene, yeah. So yeah, any other questions you have?
No, like I need to get back to it.
Just annoying that it's poor performance on console, because, and also like I was trying to stream it to my Steam Deck, and it didn't seem to do very well with that streamed from the Steam Deck, because obviously I think there's no chance of playing it well on a Steam Deck locally, but I was trying to stream it over Wi-Fi, and normally that's done really well. Like Destiny is fantastic for that, but yeah, no, definitely not streamed for there. So the annoying thing is I'm going to now have to like sit at my PC if I want to play the game. And
you're going to stick with it?
The thing is, it's hard for me to go and sit at the PC and play it a lot, because if I'm not streaming it, because I'm like, that's where I sit and do my work. It's where I sit and stream.
Yep,
it's not
where I feel about PC games as well.
It's not where I relax. So we will see. We'll see. If they somehow fix it on PS5 or whatever and it goes to 60 FPS, I'll switch to there very quickly. But I don't know. The performance seems a bit disappointing.
That's a shame.
On anything other than like a top-end PC.
Yeah.
So what about you? What have you been playing, Ed?
So because we were away for the weekend, I've not really been able to play much PlayStation. So I took the Switch with me and was like, well, what can I play? And I started Final Fantasy V. I mean, funny that, one of us playing a Final Fantasy game, because that's all we ever bloody play.
Mm-hmm. Who was it that complained again?
It was Tim. Hi, Tim. So, yes, I started Final Fantasy V, which is basically the only single-player Final Fantasy game that I am yet to play. And now I've played it. Well, not all of it. It's part of the Pixel Remasters, so it's got all the boosts, which I've used a couple of them a little bit. Not to get OP, because you can use one to give you like 4x experience, and I'm not doing that.
I would.
Well, I know you would. I'm not doing that. I have boosted the ability points you get, and that is how you level up your jobs. So a bit like Dragon's Dogma. You have your jobs that level up separately to your character. And I just want to see all the jobs and what the abilities are. So I'm doing that a bit quicker. And then I also had Gil higher because I wanted to make sure I didn't run out of money. And it turns out that there is a move that a samurai can do that where they throw Gil. And if you've got tons of Gil, it does way more damage and it's really OP. So I'm kind of cheating a little bit using that a lot.
It's not cheating. Are you saying that people that use those assists are not real gamers and they're not playing it properly?
Well, I did that for Final Fantasy 1 and 2, so you know, I'm
shameful.
Also in that camp
of playing the game with the
boosts.
But yeah, what was there in the game?
Yes. So, well, not originally. So, well, my plan for this was to just do it as it, you know, as the vanilla version of it. But I decided I'll use some boosts. It's an interesting game. It's generally considered not great. And that is because story-wise, it is just not up there with the others. The characters, the story, it is not. It's not at the level of even 4 or 6 either side of it. It's a dip from 4, and 6 was a huge leap upwards. The story feels a bit like the first couple, where it's very, very simple. It's a world of dragons. Funny that, like Dragon's Dogma again.
The crystals.
And crystals. Yeah, it's dragons and crystals. It's very basic. There's not a huge amount of characterization. And like it feels very simplistic on a story level. So, you know, it doesn't have the depth and characterization and things that the other games have had. Where it really excels is in gameplay. So I don't think it originated the job system, but a lot of the job system as we know it came from 5. So you essentially have 4 characters and you get them very early on and they are your 4 characters for the game, but they're all of them are sort of a blank slate apart from their name.
Okay.
And so they can be any job that you want them to be. And you start off with The story is literally you have to go and see the four crystals, which are obviously elements and boom, boom, boom. Mm. Like, it's just really basic fantasy. But each one you go to, you get more jobs from that crystal to expand your repertoire. And like I say, they level up separately to your characters. But as they level up, you get more abilities. Mm. And you can then assign those as your secondary ability because you've sort of learned them. But you get that no matter what job you choose, you can mix and match. So it might be that you choose to be a white mage. And so you then learn the white mage spells or white magic spells. You learn to use those as your ability. And then you switch over to be a dragoon. Mm. But then you have white magic as your secondary ability. So you're basically a dragoon that can heal.
Is that a little bit like the Final Fantasy VII like Rebirth, when you've kind of mastered a skill of a weapon, you can use that, but you can switch it out?
Kind of, yeah. Kind of.
Say yes.
Sure. That's a bit more like 9.
Oh, I haven't played that. Well, you finished it.
So, yeah, it means that you can basically mix and match all your different jobs. So, you know, I've got a white mage who's also a monk. So basically he's got loads of health and really powerful and punches with his fists, but then he's also a really good like healer.
Mm.
Or you've got a dragoon and a time mage, or a samurai and a thief, or whatever. Like, you can really mix and match your team. So there's a lot of experimentation in it, and I think that's what people really like in this game. And there are lots of ways of being OP. And that, for me, like, I really like an experimental Final Fantasy game. And they're all quite experimental in their own ways. But for me, I think 5 is in line with, like, 2 and 8, in that they are systems that are easy to exploit and break. If you like that sort of breaking systems kind of thing. So in that sense, gameplay-wise, it's great. Yeah, it's just a very, very basic story. And the script is wild. Hang on, maybe I'll read a couple. I took a couple of screenshots.
Like the story or just the text?
I didn't save it.
Well.
Oh, no, I saved
it. Speaking of script,
Let her go, you addle-pated, foul-complexioned scofflaw.
Wow.
Was one bit of script that I saw. There's also a character, and this is a vague spoiler, but it happens very early on, who everyone refers to as a man, and then it turns out that she's actually a woman, sort of in disguise.
Mm.
But everyone was like, oh, I thought she looked like a woman. And it's...
Why do they have northern accents?
In my head, they do.
Wow.
I was playing it up north. So it's just, there's a bit of like gender stuff in it, I guess, which is a bit dated. So it's showing its age, let's say, but, I think I'm maybe halfway through or over halfway through. I'm quite enjoying it. I got annoyed at a boss that I died at and then I stopped playing when I came back.
Aww.
But I will pick it up. I'd like to finish it.
Yeah.
Just to say that I've ticked it off. And then I've played all of the mainline games apart from 11.
You have to play that?
I will have to play that.
Well, that sounds good.
I need to catch up with 14 as well. So yes.
Very good.
So that's been me, but I'm playing some more Persona. I want to tick that off and then get back into Dragon's Dogma, catch up with you,
yeah,
and also play some Endwalker. That is also on my list.
I think I need to do some of that as well. Like, yeah, I don't know what I'm going to be playing next. Like, Dragon's Dogma obviously is great, but that's on the PC. So part of me wants to start a Final Fantasy 16 hard mode playthrough at some point so I can get ready and then play the DLC.
Yes, I'm excited about the DLC. Actually, I didn't have that in the news, but yes, that is coming out in soon. I can't remember.
In soon.
Also, just while we're on the topic, the 16 quest line in 14 is next week, I think.
Oh, well, that's okay. That'll be when I play it.
So I need to jump back in. I want that toggle mount and also the little mini baby toggle minion I must have.
So the mounts, can you earn them in game or do you have to buy them?
I actually don't know.
Okay, I bet you can...
I think they have said, and I now can't remember, but it's in a blog post somewhere.
Yeah.
So that's happening. And they have also announced... I'm just doing the news now because I forgot to include this. We have a release date for Dawn Trail, which is the start of July. And basically, it was pushed back a week to what they originally planned because of the Elden Ring DLC, because Yoshi P wants to play it.
But that's even
which is very understandable.
No, it's not. It's annoying. Because that means Yeah, 2nd of April it starts, by the way. Oh, that's the Final Fantasy 14 and, yeah, the crossover event.
Yes.
Yeah, for 14. No, it's 9 because it's... So early access launches, which is the day that we go to Rotterdam.
For TwitchCon.
For TwitchCon. And yeah. Then the full release is like is the day that we go and see Anna and the Johnsons.
Oh, wait. That's really annoying, actually.
Mm, it's very annoying.
Because when's Elden Ring?
Elden Ring's like the week before. Oh, the crossover.
I need to put this in my diary.
So you need to be level 50. You need to have completed the ultimate weapon. Now it says they... Okay. Items, there's a mount, there's a minion. Does it say how to get... It doesn't say how to get them. It just says what they are on here. But...
Well, I also know that you can get Clive's gear as a costume and you can then color it different colors, which is nice.
Oh, I've just clicked on it. You can... Get it available for purchase? No. So it looks
like must be in, as part of the quest then.
Possibly, yes. But it doesn't say how. So I'm guessing, yeah, you find that later. Oh, well, we'll see. We'll see when it comes out. I don't know if that's purchasable, like you can sell it to somebody else. But I mean, like the Final Fantasy 15 crossover, the car, you had to get MGP.
Yeah, which is annoying because I still haven't got that.
Oh, I got it. It's great. You just need to use the, I think it's the fashion show. If you just do the fashion show once a week, I think it is.
Right.
And obviously the mini cat pot. You right there?
Yes, I need to do that.
Are we looking for what other people have been playing?
Yes. Let's see what you lot have been playing.
You lot.
And guess what? There's a lot of Stargy.
I've been playing a bit of that. That's been a lot. I've played a lot of that over...
You did play a lot of that over the weekend.
Yeah, the weekend. I've been playing... I mean, there's nothing really I can say about it other than I'm very much into it. And probably that'll be the game, actually. Play a bit of when I'm not playing Dragon's Dogma. I'm in winter now.
So first of you are all Stardew. So we start with Riley. Still obsessed with the Stardew update. I played for about 30 hours over 3 days last weekend. I'm having so much fun with it. The new stuff is great. I love exploring. Sret says, I wish I could say the Stardew update, but for some reason playing on my PC feels like too big a job at the moment. So I've been playing Stardew on my Switch before bed because that's much more manageable. That's also how I want to play it. So Stardew, but in the Dark Ages. I started playing Tools Up, a fun little time management game where you're a dumpy little person trying to renovate flats. You move furniture out, rip up flooring, paint walls, and put new flooring down. You can play with up to 4 people, but I've just been playing the campaign solo.
Sounds like House Flipper.
It does. Madam Knees, I have just made it to fall on my new Meadowlands farm in Stardew 1.6. Some great quality of life improvements. You can strafe when holding a tool. Along with the smart move to sprinkle in a little bit of new content in nearly every area, as well as a lot of new endgame. Definitely keeps it interesting for long-time players. I've also been obsessed with Balatro. Definitely gets that just one more try gameplay loop correct. One way it is well-crafted is that jokers, which are seemingly useless one run, can synergize in unexpected ways to make another run.
Yeah, so jokers, you get up to five jokers, pretty much per run. I think you can increase them if you get certain other things. But yeah, you get 5 jokers and each of them are like, oh, they'll give you, you know, for every card that you put down that's red, you'll get a 3 multi on the score.
Sure.
So it'll multiply the score by 3 for every red card, the number that you've got down and you've used.
Sure.
Just go play it.
Okay. I will at some point.
It's like it just gives you an extra bonus feature.
Okay.
The Jokers.
Nice. A little essay from Mr. Wibble. Oh. I've played Summer House, which is a gem of a doodle game in which you just build neighborhoods using a variety of blocks and tiles. As you play, you unlock a small set of tiles containing creatures and people to liven up your build. There's no win condition, no time limit, no limit on the number of blocks you can use, just creativity. It's a nice way to spend a rainy afternoon or a train ride to TwitchCon. Interesting. I also started playing Super Mario RPG, which is very cute in a Mario way. The story more or less develops as expected, and the combat is very much what I'm used to for JRPGs. I've never played the original, and I'm definitely enjoying it. I saw Mr. Wibble was streaming it and was getting a fair way through. But yeah, if you like that, go play Paper Mario, which is out next month. Lastly, I'm diving into Core Keeper, which doesn't seem to have much of a story other than dig through the world, fight some bosses, build cool bases in various biomes. But it's fun to build a little underground farm, upgrade your production methods, dig for resources, and discover new areas, and fight some cute little mobs. If you're looking for a story-based game, this is not the game for you, but it's fun to muck about with. Core Keeper.
Yeah, play... Fireshine.
Yes,
I like I remember that. Yeah, the people are nice. And the game's cool.
Nice. Jackie B, I've been playing Call of the Wild, The Angler, quite a bit lately. It's free on the Epic Store until Thursday. So, yesterday. I really like it. It's probably the best purely fishing game that I've ever played. The map is pretty expansive. There is a wide variety of equipment, lots of different fish and fishing environments, and it's pretty realistic. My only real complaints are that the vehicles, boat and jeep, are limited. You have to wait literal hours for it to become dark in order to do nighttime fishing, because there is no way to speed up time. And the only real difference between the male and female model for character creation is they just put breasts on the male model. I give it an 8 out of 10.
What's it called?
Call of the Wild, The Angler.
Yeah, it's not available anymore. It's Islets. Islets. But yeah, the next one apparently that they're giving away is The Outer Worlds.
Oh, nice.
Fun game.
Mr. Millhill says, I've been playing WWE 2K24 lately, mostly fiddling with character creator. I wonder why.
I wonder.
Dan Law, Venba manages to say a lot in its short playtime. The game, I really want to play this. The gameplay is rather simple, but the story being told is impactful. This, coupled with the great visuals and stellar music, make it a must play. I need to give it a go. Mainlined the Trepang 2 campaign, a very 2000s shooter feel. Fun, but the fact you can't aim down sights with the left trigger had me constantly throwing grenades when I didn't want to. Pretty tense at times. Yeah, that's how games used to be. And then, was it Call of Duty that started the aim down the sights? And now everyone does it?
Was it Call of Duty or Halo?
I think it was Call of Duty.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then also, gradually making my way through Final Fantasy VII Rebirth and trying to do everything I can as I go. Currently near the end of Chapter 9, some cool new mechanics and minigames introduced, but I find some of the minigames more frustrating than the boss fights. I would agree with that. Graphics are stunning, and I have so many questions that I look forward to being answered. Indeed.
Oh, I mean, the first aim down sights... Yeah, there are different ones. People are saying, oh, it's different. It could be GoldenEye, because that's got a type of it. And then there's iron sights. So, which was, I don't know. Is it like, do you mean like the press like, L3?
It's like every shooter now is like...
Aim.
Is like
aim
L2 downsides. To aim and R2 to shoot.
Yeah. First game with...
I'm sure that was Call of Duty.
Was it Modern Warfare 3? Aim down sights is a mechanic. Modern Warfare 3. I don't know.
Anyway.
Yeah.
I think it was that. Lastly, Clasco. I started Final Fantasy 16 a couple of weeks ago and I'm really enjoying it. I'm still quite early on, but I can't wait to see how it plays out. You're going to have a lovely time. And make sure you play the DLC soon when that comes out. I'm very excited about that.
Apparently, people say it's like, no idea. Somebody's coming up with Doom, and I'm like, no, that's not what they mean.
That's not what you mean at all.
Or Resident Evil 4?
Nah.
No.
Not quite in the same way.
But the internet doesn't know anything.
Of course it doesn't. Of course it doesn't. Right, well, let's finish up with some news, shall we?
Yeah, we went to see Kong.
Yes,
we didn't mention this at the beginning, but we went to see Kong versus Godzilla, or Kong X. Was it Godzilla X King Kong or something? Or Kong X? The new,
I could not tell you what it was called.
The new Empire. Give me a one sentence review. It was a film.
It existed.
It was very badly written.
There was a script?
No.
That's a question.
Yeah. It was just, it was like a kid that's had too much sugar. Has been like, hey, write a script for an action film that you might like. And they've done something, then they've gone to something else, and it's on something else, and it's something else that's really big and exploding, and it's on something else. And you're like, why is there a big moth?
Mothra?
No. That just randomly goes, oh, my children. And then, what's going on? I don't understand.
Monster Go Boom was basically the game. The film.
Yeah. It's just weird.
Yeah. Just...
I felt like I had to apologize halfway through to you to say, sorry for taking you to see this.
Well, it was fine. We had a nice evening eventually, but it was, it was an interesting experience of a film. Yes, just, I mean, Kong's got a toothache.
Yeah, but none of it makes sense.
No.
Which I know it's not meant to because it's a big monster thing, but it's like, oh, they just suddenly replaced a giant monster's tooth in a minute.
If that.
Well, it's tranquilized. And I'm like, pretty sure, like, just no, it doesn't make sense.
It was very silly. Very silly.
But not fun silly.
You wouldn't watch it again?
Never. Oh, no, it was just, no, it was insulting to me.
Nice.
Yeah, don't go and see it.
There we go. There's your review. But thanks for the,
how many stars?
For the screening. One.
Oh.
Anyway, rest of the news. So we talked about Final Fantasy stuff. That was all from PAX, which was last week. So yeah, that was the sort of the news from last weekend. But a few things from the last couple of days, including from today. There are some rumors around Monster Hunter Wilds.
Ooh.
Which basically it's a leaker called Dusk Golem, who is pretty reliable with these things, and has shared a few bits of information over on Discord. Basically saying that it's going to be fully open world, which I think people probably expect from the next Monster Hunter. But Worlds and Rise are obviously different sections. This is going to be one entire complete open world. It's apparently set to launch in Q1 2025. And it has lots of scrapped ideas from World, including one that is a sort of Godzilla-y type thing, I think. It's looking to be far more experimental than World was. And it's basically going to be Capcom's biggest ever game.
I'm interested to see that.
Yeah. I think it could be like their kind of... It'll be probably their only game. They're banking on it carrying the whole fiscal year. So not even GTA 6 would delay it.
Yeah.
So yeah, a few bits of Monster Hunter stuff there. I'm excited to play it, especially after Dragon's Dogma, because I feel like there's bits of Monster Hunter in that.
Yeah.
Another thing that happened overnight, for us anyway, is some new guidelines on Twitch. Because Twitch has once again updated its community guidelines because of sexualized content.
Yeah, people find a new meta each time, and I'm sure next week there'll be another one.
They do. They just keep pushing the boundaries. And this time was streamers that were using their bodies as a green screen.
Interesting.
Yeah. So there was a streamer, there is a streamer, called Morgpie.
And what's her Instagram?
Biggest Woomus, of all things. So she was basically streaming Fortnite on her butt.
Oh, was she?
Yeah. So she had like a picture of her butt, which was, I guess, green, or was painted green somehow. And then she had that as her like backdrop of her stream that was then showing
the game.
Fortnite with her in the corner playing it. And then that sparked a load of other people to start like green screening various intimate body parts.
I feel like there's the like the guidelines people at Twitch every Monday morning, they go into the office and they get read their emails and they go, fucking what now?
Yeah, probably, yeah.
Every single week it's like, oh my God, what are they doing? What are they doing now?
Yeah.
Can they just play games? Can they just talk?
No. So basically they've now updated the guidelines so you can't focus on intimate body parts for a prolonged period of time.
No bulge cam anymore.
However long a prolonged period of time is, but intimate parts are buttocks, groin or breasts.
So would you watch a like groin cam?
No, it's just not necessary.
You're lying.
No, I wouldn't.
You'd watch a channel that had bulge cam.
It's a bit weird.
Yeah, no, the person I saw, I mean, it seemed fine. It was like green screen, but had a face and then chesticles. But like everything else was kind of green screened out, which is kind of interesting because you're like, you want to see as much of the game as possible. So she's kind of like, you're not interested really in my neck. So like maybe just get rid of her back. Just getting rid of the stuff. Just getting rid of the stuff that people don't really care about seeing. Honestly, some people. And I'm talking about the viewers.
Yes, indeed. So yes, more stuff from Twitch. Good one. There have been some leaks already.
There are some leaks of people watching that stream.
Yeah, about a digital-only Xbox Series X.
Oh gosh, yeah, which it's the worst-kept secret.
Well, yeah, there have been rumours for a long time, and they've said that they're bringing out new hardware this year. So everyone's presuming it's going to be VR. A digital only one. Oh. And yeah, so basically some more pictures have leaked of like an all white version of it.
Which is it the round Alexa?
Is it what?
Is it the cylindrical Alexa?
No.
What does it look like? I want to see this now.
Let me get the tweet up for you. It looks like that.
Oh, it's actual it's square. Literally,
yeah, so it's like an Xbox Series X. It's just that it's white.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it looks a bit like an old PC, if I'm honest.
Yeah, from the back of it, it looks like a fridge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, it looks like we're probably going to get that coming soon, which is not really a secret.
No. It's a bit like the PS5 Pro. That seemed to also be a bit of a open secret now.
Yeah, but I imagine it's probably coming.
Next year?
Maybe even this year. But there were also rumors at GDC from people talking that people are like, well, why does this exist? Like, it's not enough of an upgrade.
Have you seen Dragon's Dogma?
Well, maybe that needs it.
Yeah. I thought it's a massive upgrade.
Developers aren't super impressed.
Okay. Be interesting. Maybe Monster Hunter World would be a good game to... Because was it the PS4 Pro that Monster Hunter World... Was that released when the PS4 Pro was out?
Probably.
And then...
I mean, I just played it on a usual one, but yeah.
Okay. Anyway.
Yeah. That's it for the news.
And that is it for the podcast. So thank you very much. I'm going to go to bed very early tonight because I'm going to insomnia. The train is at 6:45 in the morning.
Right. Well, I'm going to have a nice lie-in, so don't wake me up.
I'm going to wake you up. I'm going to walk out clashing cymbals together.
Don't you fucking dare.
Stomping around like a moody toddler. Yeah. I need to charge my headphones. Anyway, I'll sort that all now because I've now got to edit the podcast. All right. Well, Ed, where can we find you?
You can find me at ed_nights on Twitch and on Twitter.
And when do you stream?
Monday nights.
Monday nights at whenever you're ready.
Whenever I feel like it, which is usually from about 5:30 onwards.
Excellent. And I will be, I'm Biggest Benis. You can find me at Biggest Benis. Just go to biggestbenis.com. It has all the links at the top. I'll just type in Biggest Benis to whatever and you'll probably find me. I stream, Fridays, Sundays and Tuesdays, weirdly did in not the right order. Tuesdays, wow. Fridays, Sundays. Or if you're in America, Sundays, Tuesdays, Fridays, because they do that first. I know that from Stardew. Because that's when you can give new presents on the Sunday.
Of course, that's how you know these things.
So I'll be streaming then. Although, the next week is a bit weird because going to various things. And it's Easter. But yeah, we'll see you next week when I'll be able to eat chocolate because Lent will have finished. And I'm a very religious person.
Of course you are.
No, I just gave myself a cruel thing to do and not eat chocolate.
Do you feel better for it?
No.
Great.
Just feel more miserable. I want to go eat some now. Especially when there's the cream eggs sitting on the...
Staring at you.
Staring at me from our table in the living room. Anyway, go to swapandjoysticks.com if you want to go and click and listen to or watch any previous previous episodes. And we'll see you same time next week. Bye-bye.
See you then.